The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to the Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. There's something that we don't have in front of us, part of the scriptures that precede this passage immediately, and that is Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by John, and the voice from heaven that proclaims, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus picks up Israel's original vocation, which was to be the light to the nations, set on fire by God, to be the light to the nations. And Jesus succeeds. We see where Israel fails. His 40 days of faithfulness, then, are meant to call to mind the Israelites' 40 years of infidelity, grumbling against God in the desert. But behind that story, again, is, as we heard in our first reading, the story of Adam and Eve. How Jesus' obedience, then, as St. Paul says, overcomes that original disobedience and rebellion of Adam. Let's try to get to the very heart of what's going on here. Listen again to God's words. "This is my beloved Son." And the devil's temptation, at least the first two parts of it, "If you are the Son of God." If you are the Son of God. This is an attack, then, not just to say, "Hey, look, Jesus, maybe try some of these things. You know, you're pretty sure you know where it's going to go, but how about some of these things? This is perhaps the easier way. This is perhaps the way you should go about your business." But it's not just an attack on Jesus' business, his mission, what he does, but precisely who he is. It's an attack on his identity. We see then that our temptations, the temptations that we face in the flesh, the world, and the devil, the very enemy of human nature, is not simply against, like, trying to get us to do some things that look good at one point and don't look good when we've done them. But those two are an attack on our very identity. And we see that in Jesus. And this is not then, say, good advice that somehow what we read about in the scriptures is a model that we are trying to endeavor to grasp and take hold of in our own lives, but that it's good news in as much as Jesus overcomes the wiles of the devil And so because we have life in him, we also have the power to overcome temptation. So we step away. Right? Jesus' time in the desert, what is that time? But an intense communion with his heavenly Father. Not only has he been, say, called forth as God's beloved Son, but now he spends 40 days by himself with no distraction, with nothing to satisfy his desire, in order to commune, to draw close in intimacy with his heavenly Father. My friends, that's our Lent also. That's the pattern that we pick up here following Jesus in his 40 days. Above all, no matter what it is that we've taken on for our Lenten observance, we are drawn close to our heavenly Father in intimacy with him to experience consolation and strength and love that we wouldn't otherwise get precisely because of the many distractions that surround us in our life. But more than that, more than being drawn forth by the love of God, more than experiencing consolation and his strength to the full, we are called in Lent to reestablish ourselves in our identity, to pick up again our vocation, right? That we are, in fact, God's beloved, and that we are called to be light to the world. And so we see then that temptation is not simply some kind of distraction that we might commit this or that sin, but temptation is what is calling us to be led astray from our identity, and led astray from our vocation precisely to be light to the world and to give up our identity as God's beloved son, as God's beloved daughter. My friends, herein lies the rub, that all those temptations, all those perhaps calls that lead us astray are always enticing us by the prospect of happiness. Do this, you'll be happy. Gain this, you'll be fulfilled. But nothing can fulfill us. Nothing can make us happy but the love of God. And Lent, then, is our privileged time to experience that. We're called to receive the love of God and make that love real in the world. That's where our happiness lies. The world, the flesh, or a devil just can't come close.